Communications disruption can mean only one thing: invasion.
You must contact me.
Negotiation? We've lost all communication.
Hello, and welcome to CO Bibble's Babble Bubble. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, everyone, and boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to be thankful for. We're thankful for the program and the fact that it's back on air. After that hiatus of a year and a half, actually, was it two and a half? It was only a year and a half that we were gone until I was encouraged by my wonderful girlfriend to say you should get back into content creation and get that little show back in the road. So here we are, the 13th episode of the Babble Bubble, sticking with our usual schedule upload of once every other week. And so it's exciting that this has been going on and hopefully will continue to go on in the future. And I'm very thankful for you, the listeners of the podcast, you solid members of the Babble Bubble who've been with us since day one and waited with bated breath for a long time until we got to episode two and have pushed us through onward. And for those of you who are new, who came on when we finally got onto social media and you saw CO Bibble's Babble Bubble on Twitter and got excited, what could this be? And hopefully those excitements and expectations have happily been met. And for those of you who are just now tuning in to this very first episode, welcome. We're thankful to have you on as well. Luckily, this is a non-serialized podcast, so you can choose to pop in and out whenever you want and enjoy the ride as it goes. So welcome on board. And really, what has made this podcast what it is today, beyond you listeners and the people who pushed me onto this, is the fact that there are members of the podcasting community out there, specifically the Star Wars podcasting community, who have been incredibly open arms in getting this messaging across and those who have joined the program in our refound infancy. So I'd like to give a special shout out to Nikki, Charlie, and Claire of the Imperial Senate podcast, who are well-loved and adored and well-respected and followed for, you know, giving a little shout-out here and there and some love to us here on the Babble Bubble. I'd also like to give a nice shout-out and thanks to Dale and Michael of It's True, All of It, a Star Wars podcast. I had Michael, otherwise known as Zabologist, on air a couple episodes ago to talk Master and Apprentice, and I hope you have a chance to tune in and listen to that. And they've been really sharing us out there. And everybody else in the podcasting community, both domestically in the United States where I am and overseas in Great Britain and Australia especially. And I mention Australia because as I have found out in social media followings and data analytics and where all the listeners are situated, it turns out I really have a targeted focus of listeners here in Texas where I'm from and in the land down under in Australia. Which is kind of a funny turn of events because Texas and Australia are so often lumped together in this kind of unique way. It's sort of cowboys in the outback in the wild lands, and it's kind of a fend for yourself sort of mentality, and they wear cool clothing. You know, you guys in Australia have Hugh Jackman. We in Texas have Matthew McConaughey. Handsome men who look good in rugged get-ups and outfits and representing us proud. And so I decided for this week, while I'm being so incredibly thankful for my listeners here and abroad, to sort of tie together how Texas and Australia are similar through the lens of the Star Wars prequels. And so I have determined the five planets of the prequels that best summarize our people, the Aussies and the Texans, and the places that we call home. And I have to admit, some of this isn't quite flattering. Some of this does play into negative stereotypes about Aussies and Texans. And I'm sorry about that, but we're going to find the good as well. We're going to find the positive within it, because we are two great sister nations. Well, Texas is a state, but we're a nation with identity. We may not be a nation state, but we are a country, and we are proud of it. So, without further ado, the five. Number five, Utapau. Now, this one may seem like a bit of a strange stretch here. Utapau is full of giant, viractal, feathered lizards that you can ride around. Those don't exist. But hark, where do the crazy creatures of the world live other than Australia itself? Yes, maybe Texas doesn't have koalas or kangaroo, but we have our own unique species, like the Texas horned frog, otherwise known as the horny toad. If you blew that thing up and stuck some feathers on it, would that not be a viractal in its own right that people would be illegally racing on different planets or different states and countries that weren't our own? But why else Utapau? Well, the geography is kind of similar too. Have these canyons, these cavernous holes that go down. Think of what you can imagine in parts of rural Australia. Think of Big Bend National Park in West Texas. And what's found in there? What can you find in Big Bend, Queensland, Victoria? Fossils. There's fossils all over Australia. There's fossils all over Texas. And there's fossils all over Utapau. You have that cage made out of giant bones that looks like something straight out of Mad Max. Mad Max, where does that take place? In Australia. Where can you find crazy dinosaur bones outside of Utah and Wyoming in the United States? That's right, in Texas. Because Texas used to be underwater, so we have access to fantastical bones of fantastical creatures just like those in Australia and Utapau. So happily chirrup, my friends. Happily chirrup indeed. Just like the viractals, for Utapau is our heartland at home. Number four, Felucia. Felucia, you will notice, seems to be the most different planet compared to the other five on this list as we go through. And to some people, Felucia may be very different from what they imagine Texas in Australia to be like. But let me tell you this, there is more to Texas in Australia than the desert. There is more to Texas in Australia than the plainslands. And to it has these humid parts in both areas. East Texas. Think around Beaumont, Houston, Carthage, Palestine. Yes, that's the home of, I think Carthage or Palestine, somewhere around there. That's the home of none other than Casey Musgraves. And can't you just picture the great country artist Casey Musgraves really as just a little Felucian? Just talking about the simple life. And, you know, in Felucia, this sort of humid environment in which you have all sorts of interesting flora and fauna, it's a lot like our states. And you know what they do here? These are farming people. These are good salt-of-the-earth people live in Felucia. You should watch The Clone Wars, episode 17 of season 2, in which we get to see the hard-working Felucian farmers as they're attacked by bandits and have to go to bounty hunters for protection. Doesn't that sound like the plot of any Texas movie or some Australian Outback movie? Instead of the bounty hunters, maybe you have the Texas Rangers. You could have a bounty hunter as well for that. You know, have Clint Eastwood, the man with no name, come on in to protect the farmers of East Texas or some Australian equivalent in Brisbane. I don't know if Brisbane's a farming community at all. To be fair, I think I should have a disclaimer. I've never actually been to Australia. So a lot of this is a bit of a stretch. And to my dear, dear listeners on the island continent country of yours, please do not take offense to anything I'm saying. It's all coming from a point of endearment and love. For planet number three, we have Mustafar. Now, this one may seem like a bit of a stretch. And Mustafar does have a lot of volcanoes, and maybe that sounds better for Hawaii or somewhere else in Oceania. But, like Mustafar, Texas and Australia can get ridiculously hot. I have some record temperatures I found here while looking on the internet earlier. In Victoria, it has been recorded highs of up to 115 degrees Fahrenheit. That's roughly 47, 48 degrees Celsius centigrade. And Texas, in our hottest areas, we've had it up to 114 degrees, which Fahrenheit, which is 45, 46 degrees centigrade. There's a lot of parallelisms. Mustafa, it's probably getting significantly hotter than that. But we know it as a hot planet. Texas is known as a hot state. Australia is known as a hot country. And the idea of crazy separatists hanging out on Mustafar kind of reflects crazy separatists in their own right hanging out in Australia or hanging out in Texas. Certain undesirables gone to go away, sent there by a higher authority. You could say the Separatist Council were almost prisoners of Darth Sidious himself being sent off to Australia, to Mustafar, just like prisoners were sent by the British government to Australia to live on out their days. Unlike the Separatist Council on Mustafar, though, the prisoners in Australia certainly did a whole lot better. But like the Separatist Councils in Mustafar, the Separatists or Confederates in Texas didn't do so well, as rightfully they should not have. You know, glad they lost that one. I'll grant it, this Mustafar one's a bit of a stretch, but as you've probably seen in the rest of this list, there are a lot of particular stretches of comparisons going on here, so you have to make do with what you got. Number 4. Geonosis. Now I know, Mustafar, Geonosis, we're getting kind of unfair with the advantages here. You know, it's, you went from a ridiculously hot planet to a ridiculously dusty planet. But I tell you, Geonosis has its own natural beauty in these unique areas. Yes, when we think of West Texas that may be similar, we could be thinking Lubbock, we could be thinking Amarillo. But there's a certain hiddenness out there that strikes the eye. In Australia, this could be Cooper Pedy. Well, yes, there's dust and there's a lot of bugs and flies out in Cooper Pedy. But aren't there a lot of dust and bugs flying around in Geonosis too? You know, Australians probably get tired of non-Australians pointing to the same 4 or 5 pieces of source material here. But really, if you want to get a funny understanding of Cooper Pedy, to my knowledge, this is done somewhat correctly. You should watch the television program on Netflix, Instant Hotel, in which this delightfully silly, well, I don't know, the delightful couple that's obsessed with hot rods and certain American culture build this hotel in a cave in Cooper Pedy, and you get to experience it. And I think those two folks in that couple best represent a certain bridge between the United States and Australia, the same way I'm saying Geonosis is representing a bridge between Texas and Australia. And yes, I do. There are a lot of flies and bugs in that particular episode of that show, so the fact that the people who live on Geonosis are flying bug people, I think is totally fair. And we have our fair share of bugs here in Texas as well. You know, every single September in Central Texas, we get just flooded with crickets. And this September in particular was particularly cricket heavy, to the point they had to shut down stores because there was piles of crickets outside the door trying to get in. And they had to keep the doors locked so the crickets wouldn't get in the groceries. Crickets aren't that bad to eat, though. You know, you can take some dried crickets and you put them in a bag, put in some chili peppers, some lime juice, and you shake the bag around a bit, and it makes for a very healthy snack. Grasshoppers, too. I think it's in the movie Hidalgo, which has nothing to do with Star Wars, Texas, or Australia, but it is a movie nonetheless with a cowboy and crickets. Well, actually, it's grasshoppers. He gets sort of a racing in the deserts of Saudi Arabia, and all looks lost and hopeless, but all of a sudden a swarm of grasshoppers comes through and he eats them. Not unlike the way that Republic forces in Attack of the Clones mowed down and metaphorically ate the crickety Geonosians in the first and second battles of Geonosis. I'm really glad Geonosians aren't real, because this take on eating them, or metaphorically mowing them down like literal bugs that are consumed for protein, would be considered offensive, but they are fictitious characters solely portrayed by CGI, with the exception of maybe a man in a motion-captured suit playing Pog with a Lesser. This I do not know. I would have to look into that. But to the Geonosian listeners, I apologize. I know you've gotten a lot of love in some of my episodes recently, so I think it's fair share that I kind of knock you down a few notches. And lastly, the fifth and final planet to compare Australia and Texas is none other than Tatooine. And this is where I implore you to focus less on Tatooine, the landscape, and more Tatooine, the culture and the people. Though, to be fair, let's be honest, Tatooine, the landscape, is pretty similar to a lot of places in Australia and Texas, even if it isn't that desirable. But why? Why? What are the good things that bring this seemingly backwater planet to the front and center as a positive comparison to our two beloved places? Why Tatooine? It is it's the backcountry, but with a flair. They have goofy sports in a wide array of people. It's a land of hope. Well, not quite, but it seems like people have a new hope starting in Tatooine and then leave to go elsewhere. But it really brings people together. People who are dreamers, like Han Solo in the original trilogy, dreaming of new things. Or you can think of the dreamers like Watto, who's just a regular shopkeeper. Now, couldn't you replace Watto with a guy running a general store or a saloon like Mos Eisley Cantina? The word cantina is even in the name of it there. You can think of the cantinas in Laredo and Brownsville and San Antonio. And how isn't that basically just Mos Esper, Mos Eisley? Different cultures and languages, just like we see different cultures and languages merging together in Texas and Australia. And you know what? There's brawls in both of these. You know? Brawls that can lead to be incredibly deadly or harmful. Think about it. When Jar Jar takes that chicken-looking thing in the Phantom Menace and starts to eat it, and he spits it out after getting yelled at by the storekeeper, and that chicken goes flying off and hits Sebulba square in the face, who then eats it later, you feel like violence is about to break out and nobody bats an eye save for Qui-Gon Jinn stepping in. Now, you could replace that chicken with a barbecue beef rib, and you could replace Sebulba with a rodeo star. Jar Jar Binks could be some out-of-town Yankee coming on in. I want to try this spare rib, not knowing he's cut in line, or has taken it off another man's plate, and unable to fully dissect it, spits out in the bone, or what's left of the rib, hits the rodeo star square in the face. And that rodeo star probably isn't known that well up in wherever Jar Jar's from, which for the purpose of this metaphor or story, we're going to say is New England, the swampy lands of Vermont. Because let's face it, Vermont's the closest thing to Naboo, and Burlington's basically Theed. Note, just like Australia, I've never been to Vermont, so this could totally be off base, but we're sticking with it here. But it's a brawl. And you can think of brawls in Australia as well. I don't know. Something to chew on. There's one thing that doesn't show up in Tatooine or any really of the prequels planets, but they do in the books. And the reason I bring this up here of how it ties to Texas and Australia is that these planets don't really have noticeable native accents. And that is the biggest knock, you know, against this whole little charade here. In Texas, we're famous for our southern drawl and use of crazy phraseologies like yee-haw, howdy, and y'all. And you Australians, you have that famous over-accentuation of vowels sometimes, and a noticeable lack of R's that lead to some horrible attempts of impersonations. The Star Wars prequel universe, unfortunately, does not have a planet that jumps out with that native accent, so unfortunately, for the purpose of this list, I'm gonna have to leave it blank. But read, cries you, my beloved British listeners. You're giving a lot of love to Texas and Australia, but what about us? Aren't we your number three most loyal fan base? Aren't I, the individual English listener, just as important as she, the important Australian listener, or he, the important Texas listener? Well, my good English friend, I guess I'll have to find a planet for you too, as it's only fair, but I would say that this planet doesn't really relate to Texas or Australia that much, and that would be none other than Coruscant. Congratulations, Britain, I've given you Coruscant. Now, I do agree that you have your beautiful share of fields for your farming of the sheep, your knitting of the wool, and your handling of what other few crops that you produce that are a dent in the global exchange of products that are non-industrial. But I pick Coruscant because Coruscant is so close to London. In the sense that you look at the United States, right, and we have multiple capitals for multiple things. We, non-jurisdiction, of course, that's more like South Africa. But if you look at the U.S., we have an entertainment capital, which is Los Angeles. We have an administrative capital and a judicial capital, which is Washington, D.C. And we have a financial capital, which is New York. And you have little sub-cities that each have their own claim for who's the industrial capital, like Detroit could have done through most of the 20th century, or Atlanta in some respects, or Dallas or Houston for energy capitals over the years. But in the UK, all of that is pretty much smugged together, save industrial, which is thrown off to the north, and everything's all happening in London. That's the administrative capital, that's the entertainment capital, it's the financial capital, and you can tell that city is all smorgasbords of interesting things and interesting people trying to get multiple things done at once. And yes, you have your little districts where that happens. You have, oh, the West Wing, the West End and Piccadilly Circus, and the City of London with the financing, and Westminster, where there's Whitehall and Parliament, and so on and so forth. But that pretty much is just Coruscant right there. You have where all the entertainment is taking place. You have the Senate District, you have where the Jedi Temple is, you probably have the movie theater area, the stage plays where that crazy opera and Revenge of the Sith takes place. You know, at that one point, though, I will say Australia and Coruscant do have that in common. Sydney has the beautiful opera house, and I think that you've got to give a little nod and applause to that with the opera on Coruscant in Revenge of the Sith. So bravo. Texas, it's a little more of a stretch. Maybe there's parts of Austin or Dallas that could touch the Coruscant-y realm of significance. But it's all a bit stretching. Maybe the quality of universities, you know, Hook'em Horns, University of Texas, Rice University, Texas A&M. You know, maybe there's that level of engineering and liberal arts and so on and so forth going on at the places where you can learn on Coruscant. So I'll give us that as well. But UK, I have not forgotten you. You just are more of an outlier in this little comparative experiment here. Anyhow, since it's the extended weekend of Thanksgiving going on right here, I won't take much more of your time. So, per usual, thank you, especially, I guess, more so than usual, given Thanksgiving, thank you for your loyal support as listeners. And I really do hope to have a guest on, maybe two guests on, for next week. And I have some interesting engagements lined up with other podcasts, so keep a listen out and your eyes on social media to see the Babble Bubble showing up on some other shows. So thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to having you on. Right.
Det havde nu ikke været nødvendigt med det forbud.
Langt ud. Den lille fe havde nemlig sørget.